Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the infamous blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Castos for more episodes.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I am your host, Phil Alexander, the CISO, or Chief Information Security Officer here at North Mississippi Health Services. And my co-host today for this podcast is Diana Duffy, our Security Controls Assessor. And our topic today is going to be phishing. And no, we're not talking about catfishing or bass fishing or any other kind of phishing. We're talking about P-H-I-S-H, phishing. Those are those kind of crazy emails you may have received that said, you know, congratulations, you've won something, or alert, you owe the IRS some money, or your UPS package can't be delivered, so click here, you know, don't delay, something like that. So that's what we're going to talk about today, those unwarranted emails that you get either at work or even at home. That's what we're going to talk about today.
All right. Well, thanks, Bill, for the intro. I am so happy to be a part of this today. When you mentioned this topic and included me in the podcast, I was really excited because it's a topic that affects all of us in our jobs, our home life, our children, our grandparents, everyone. I have in-laws in their 80s who use email and are vulnerable to phishing just like the rest of us. In fact, they've already been affected by it. And it's a topic worth spending some time on to educate our listeners as best we can. So thank you for asking me. So let me just jump right in and ask you a question. Phishing with a PH, that's an interesting term. Why is it called phishing?
Yeah, great question. I guess we'll start with why. That's always a good question, right? So P-H-I-S-H, that's what we're talking about. Why is it called phishing? Well, so I think the reason that caught on early on, they changed the spelling just a little bit, but it's very similar to regular phishing like catfish or bass fishing or whatever, in the fact that these malicious actors will send you or send out an email, and they're trying to hook you or trying to get you to bite. They'll send you some tasty morsel, right, on the end of a hook, and they're trying to get you to bite or trying to hook you into that scam or whatever. And so I think that's where that term became kind of popular, is phishing, because it's very similar to that. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, good explanation on that. Well, as I was preparing for this podcast, I researched and discovered some really alarming numbers around phishing success. And I don't mean our success, I mean a hacker's success in getting someone to take that bait that you spoke about. So can I share a few of these with you and get your thoughts about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, so what I found was that there are about 156 million phishing emails sent out every day globally, which was staggering. And 16 million make it past our filters. That means a lot are blocked, but around 10% actually make it through to our mailboxes. What do you think about that filter?
Yeah, let me weigh in on that. So that filter part is interesting because we don't want to just talk about what we're doing here at North Mississippi Health Services to protect our patients and our employees, the emails that we receive. But even at home, you may not realize if you use Yahoo, Gmail, and if you're still old enough and have AOL or whatever email service you
that
use.
That one stuck me.
So whatever email service you're out there using, the newer ones or the older ones, all of those use email or spam filters to try to block all of these. And so like you said, Diana, absolutely incredible at how many make it through those filters. If we didn't have an email blocker or filter that filters all of that junk out, basically we wouldn't be able to get any email. It would just crash the system, that many systems. So yeah, absolutely incredible that we have filters and yet they're still get through. Yeah. So we do a good job. Most of the tools do a really good job doing it. But at the end of the day, there's still 20% or what, I don't know, whatever the number is. I don't know if you found
10%,
that. Around 10%. Yeah, about 10% still getting through, like you said. Then that becomes the human factor in which we have to take care of that 10%.
Right. And you mentioned that we are doing a good job. And here at North Miss, we actually do. I checked when I was gathering statistics and saw where just here at North Mississippi alone, we blocked over 460,000 emails in the last month alone. 460,001 organization here at home. So I truly believe these statistics are certainly not exaggerated.
Yeah, agreed. And like I said, if we didn't have those in place here at North Mississippi Health Services, it would be incredible. It really would.
It would. So, okay, back to the stats. So of the 16 million that actually make it to our mailboxes, 8 million of those are actually opened by folks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And of those, 800,000 links are clicked within those emails. Do you want to talk about those links?
Yeah. So first of all, you said there were, what did you say, about 800,000 links that are clicked, but you said 16 million, well, 8 million, I think you said, are people actually open the email, right?
Yeah.
So let me say this real quick about that. One of the misnomers that people say or talk about when you talk about phishing, I don't want you to freak out at home about opening emails, right? So, oh, I can't open any email. Generally speaking, I mean, there's some maybe some sophisticated ones out there, but generally speaking, opening an email is not going to get you. It's when you click on that malicious link that's embedded in the email, or they usually have an attachment, you know, then you open that. So of those people who are opening the emails, that concerns me less as the people who are clicking the link or opening the attachment.
Right, because most of the time nothing can happen until you click on something, right?
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
So of those 800,000 that click within the link, about 80,000 of those actually fall for the scam and type their credentials in or their username and password in, or they give out their financial information or social security numbers or any kind of personal information. 80,000 people a day fall for that scam.
a day. Yeah, yes. Think about that. That's 80,000 a day. Mm-hmm. And now you see why the hackers and the malicious folks out there are making literally billions of dollars every year on these scams, because that many people are entering their credential or their username, password, or financial information.
Well, speaking of that, so what I saw was a number that kind of puzzled me a little bit. So my research shows that only 86% of those phishing emails are financially motivated. What about the rest of them, the other 14%?
Yeah, I think that's the key that a lot of people think that, like, I'll give you an example. You know, I've done this at every organization I've worked. I've talked about phishing, obviously, because it's one of the number one ways in which hackers get into organizations. So we're always educate around that. And people always say, well, Phil, you know, I don't have to worry about phishing emails, because if you saw my bank account, you know, they're not coming after me, you know, it's that low. And that's not the case, because yeah, they are financially motivated. Majority of it is financially motivated. At the end of the day, everything's financial motivated, is how they're getting the money. But it's not the only thing that they're after. And by the way, you could have a zero bank account, and they can still make money off of you. Mm. We won't go into that here today, but there's a ton of ways I can get money from your identity without you having any money personally. But there are other ways, like you said, are the reasons why they're getting in besides money. Money's a big motivator. Obviously, they're going to do that. But there's things that we're seeing now, a rise in this, as we have connected everything. We become a connected universe, right? We're connected everything. We're connecting our refrigerators. Go to Lowe's, right? You can buy a refrigerator that connects to the internet. You know, Nike's got shoes where it's got a thing that connects to your Fitbit or to your Apple Watch. So when you're running, it feeds data to it, right?
Wow.
We're connecting everything. Our tennis shoes are our refrigerators. We're connecting everything. And a lot of it's, for good purpose and some convenience and that sort of thing. But it also brings with it some risk. And so with that, because we've connected everything, then we open ourselves up to even nation state actors. So what we're seeing now is, if any of you guys are paying attention to the news, right now Russia just parked a whole bunch of tanks and military, 100,000 military folks on the border of Ukraine. They are literally, we're moments away from Russia invading Ukraine. This is no lie.
Right.
The Pentagon says it's an 8 out of 10 chance that they're going to actually physically invade Ukraine this year. But what's that got to do with this? Well, when they parked those, if you go back and look, they actually invaded Georgia about 10 years ago, and they never fired a shot. Mm-hmm. They just launched a cyber attack and shut down all the power grid, and then Georgia gave up without a fight. That's what they're trying to do with Ukraine as well. They we launched a cyber attack against Russia in retaliation for what they're doing, trying to get them to stop. And then they launched a cyber missile.
Just
a few days ago, at Ukraine. So now we've got cyber weapons going back and forth. Now we've got Russia, China, and let's talk about Syria, North Korea, Iran. Some of these smaller countries, they would love to have missiles that they could launch and hit the United States, but they can't. They don't have the capability. What they do have is a laptop. And again, we're globally connected. So what they do is they launch those attacks against U.S. healthcare systems. And we've seen that as well. They launch it against oil and gas. We saw that in the oil and gas pipeline in Pennsylvania last year.
Right.
They're launching these attacks against schools and other things. And I'm sure you guys have seen this on the news. So we've got nation state issues where they're hacking in. And then we have another one is hacktivism. Well, we have seen some activists in the last couple of years, right? People out there for different causes, whatever your political spectrum, there's been activists on both sides. Well, this is no different. But instead of them out in front of the White House with a picket sign, they've got their laptop in a dark basement, right? And so they hack on behalf of a cause, for whatever the cause is. So they'll hack into an organization and attack that. So there's a lot of different reasons why they would attack you personally on your personal devices at home, or why they would do it at an organization. It's not just money motivated.
Right. Well, that's very.
Oh, and let me just say this too, Diana. And how does that tie into phishing? Well, the number one way in which they're hacking, we think about, I just said cyber weapons, and we talked about missiles and all this stuff, whatever. We use those terms, but how they deliver those weapons is through phishing, right? So we can put all this technology in place to block it, but if they get one phishing email in and you click it, then that weapon downloads onto your computer, and then they have access.
Wow. Well, it's pretty obvious from our conversation today and research that, number one, war is not just guns and tanks anymore, right? And also that our spam filters, our antivirus software, all our other tools that we use can't stop them all, right?
That's right, yeah.
So tell me, how does an average person know which is a legitimate email versus a phishing email, and how can we protect ourselves?
Yeah, so let's start by what we talked about. we don't want to downplay the fact that some of these things can still come through. The tool sets are still important. You still need antivirus on your personal computer. You still need spam filters on your computer. You still need to patch and update and all of that, even though that's a 60-80% solution. You still need to do those things. So don't think, well, those things aren't as effective. So you still need to do that. In fact, what I would say is go out to our website, cybersecurity.nmhs.net, and we provide free antivirus. By the way, please don't do that. Don't pay for antivirus. It's one of my pet peeves. The federal government requires that antivirus companies give those to individuals for free. Most people don't know that. So we give some links on our website. You can go there, check that out. But make sure you have a good antivirus program on your computer. Make sure that you are patching. So basically what that means is a lot of the software companies and computer companies will find these holes in their system that hackers can use. They will issue what's called a patch. You don't need to have to go try to find that. You want something to do with it. So we have a software on our website where you can download. It'll do the job for you. It'll go out and look at all your software. It'll go out to the software's websites every month and look to see if there's patches available, and it will install those for you. So just make sure you have patches and antivirus and all of those things. Once you get the technology set up and you've taken care of that, then you want to say, okay, now you got the human element, which we're talking about really is me clicking on an email, or how do I know this is phishing and that sort of thing. Again, if you're not expecting that email, if you don't have a UPS or a FedEx package coming, that should be your first clue. Second of all, maybe you are expecting a package, but when you look at it, I would look at the sender. Where is it coming from? Because UPS isn't going to send it from BobbySue@gmail.com, right? It's going to come from UPS or FedEx, right?
Right.
And make sure it looks like the real sender. The second thing, too, is I can tell you that the IRS, UPS, any legitimate company, generally don't make mistakes on grammar and spelling.
Right.
Right? They know what they're doing. They're good. They're good with their English. And the reason a lot of the phishing emails that we see have bad spelling and poor grammar is because they're usually generated from third world countries. And so those folks don't have good English, and so they're just mass producing those. and so make sure that when you're looking at it, if it's got poor spelling, poor grammar, that's another key indicator that it's probably not good, and you need to be careful with it.
All right. What about some of the subjects of those? They make them sound really urgent.
Urgent,
or
yeah, and scary.
You're about to get a lot of money, or
yeah, or the IRS is going to come after you, or we're going to garnish your check. I mean, that really scares folks a lot of times. And so that's the key, is that fear or that excitement is what they're really trying to generate. That's what it's called, that tasty morsel earlier. You know, they're trying to get you to bite on something that's either fearful or exciting. And so you have to be careful about that and let your emotions run away with you.
Right. Well, just a very personal story about that. My father-in-law, back at the beginning of COVID, I guess that was the beginning of 2020, was on his computer. He's in his 80s. And he was surfing around and hit a webpage that popped up this warning and said, all your files are about to be locked. Give me your, you know, debit card information so that this won't happen. And he did. He fell for it because he had never seen anything like that before. And, of course, everything's true on the Internet. Right. So he gave it. And then he immediately afterwards called my husband and he said, Dad, that was a scam. You need to call the bank and, you know, stop your debit card right now. And he did, and no harm came from it financially. But with the stress of, you know, a new pandemic, and also thinking that, of course, in his mind, he just gave, you know, a hacker on the internet all his information that could harm him in every way. And he ended up having a stroke. He ended up having a stroke and was in the hospital because of it.
The stress.
So it is very real.
Yeah,
so,
it is very real.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it's very real for all of us, but you bring up a good point in the fact that, unfortunately, our senior citizen population tends to be a higher number of folks who click and enter on those things because technology is such a new thing for the older generation. And so, and they're, you know, they were used to trusting, right? They're a very trusting generation.
Right.
And so, it's really sad and terrible that they're being taken advantage of.
Well, I know sometimes we want to just, when things like that happen, we want to throw up our hands and turn our computers off and not ever use it again. So what would you suggest? How can we personally fight this cyber war and still use this wonderful thing called technology that serves us so well in most ways?
Yeah, I would buy one of those tiny houses, move it to the woods, and, that's Ted Kaczynski, isn't it? The Unabomber did that. I'm glad you brought that up, Diana, because the thing is, what we don't want to do is, we're not trying to scare everybody. The point of this podcast isn't about scaring you about, you know, I should just get rid of email. It's too evil. I'm not going to know what to do, or I want to get rid of my computer or whatever. I'm not going to get those Nike shoes or that refrigerator or whatever. That's not
the
point.
Me.
They're watching me, you know, all over the place, you know, and that's not the point, because the thing is, it's too late, right? It's all over the place. We're not going to get away from technology. We're not going to get away from these things. It is our daily life now.
Yeah, right.
And so what we're trying to do, though, is just wake everyone up and say, listen, just be vigilant. Just be careful. It's no different than driving a car. Mm-hmm. Whenever you were taught to drive a car, there was a lot of things they told us about, right? You went through defensive driving. They showed you all the horrible things that could happen. It was just for you to be aware of your surroundings. And that's the same thing here. It's just to be aware, not to run away from technology, but why, as we embrace it, and as we all know, technology has come so fast in our lives. I mean, I know, Diana, you're not even half my age, I know, but, I remember the day whenever, I didn't grow up with a computer in the house. There was no computer in my home. There was no smartphones when I was growing up.
Right.
My dad had a big bag phone, with a big antenna.
Y'all were rich.
We were, yeah. We were, it was a business phone. My dad still says today, by the way, that it got better signal than the ones we have today, but it's come a long way in one generation. I mean, my generation we've seen the plethora of connectivity very quickly, and yet what we haven't done is included security. you know, understanding of how to deal with this technology, this internet thing that's just populated into all of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's just continuing to exponentially grow. And so we don't need to be scared of it. We need to embrace it. I think it's great. We're, you know, iPads and smartphones and all the things we're doing, it's an incredible opportunity to embrace some great technology. We just have to be smart. We just have to think about it. If it doesn't make sense, don't do it.
Right, right.
You know, just think through it.
I think my father-in-law now, I am his personal IT. And
that's
okay. That's okay. I'll continue to help and train.
Yeah, you say that, you know, as we get ready to close, I'll just say this too. Those of you who are listening, you may not have a Diana as your personal IT or a Phil who's part of your family who nerds. By the way, most families do have nerds. You may not know it, but there probably is a nerd somewhere in your family. Find them. But if you don't have somebody personally that you can turn to for some of these questions, I would, again, encourage you to go to our website, cybersecurity.nmhs.net. Lots of free resources for you at home. We have things on there, how to secure my personal cell phone, how to take care of my children on the internet, you know, all of those sorts of things. Go check those out. There's also a contact us page on there. If you have any questions, feel free to fill that out. It'll send us an email. We'll get back to you. But also at the very top, there's a link for our blog, which is called Fish Market. We'll play on words there. P-H-I-S-H. Fish Market. And on that website, we took some screenshots, some actual phishing emails, and we've circled and highlighted and written, you know, why is this, phishing? Why is this bad? How can I tell this is bad? And so we put a lot of tips on there. So feel free to reach out and use that as your personal resource, that webpage. And if you have questions that we don't answer on there, let us know. And we may create an article and put it out there so that not only it answers for you, but all of our listeners as well.
That would be fun.
So again, thanks for you guys listening to our podcast. We hope you found this to be relevant and useful. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We're here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helped you understand what Connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Castos for more episodes.